The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purposes of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these televised proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
Order, please. I will call on the Government House Leader.
Mr. Speaker, would you please call Resolution 4?
Resolution number 4. I recognize the Honourable Minister of Finance.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to notice of motion given by me on September 18, 2009, and the rules and forms of procedure of the House of Assembly, I have the honour by command to present a message from Her Honour, the Lieutenant Governor of the Province of Nova Scotia, relating to the estimates of sums required for the service of the province for the fiscal year ending March 31, 2010, which is, quote, I hereby transmit estimates of sums required for the public service of the province for the year ending March 31, 2010, and in accordance with the Constitution Act 1867, recommend them together with the budget address of my Minister of Finance and any resolutions or bills necessary or advisable to approve the estimates and implement the budget measures to the House of Assembly, signed May Ann Francis, Lieutenant Governor, September 24, 2009. Mr. Speaker, at this time, I wish to table the message from Her Honour, the Lieutenant Governor, transmitting the estimates for the consideration of this House. Table the government business plan. Table the estimate books. Table the Crown Corporation business plans. Table the estimate and Crown Corporation business plans resolutions. Deliver my budget speech. And move that the estimates of sums required for the service of the province for the fiscal year ending March 31, 2010, being supplied to be granted to Her Majesty and the Crown Corporation business plans be referred to the Committee of the Whole House on Supply. Mr. Speaker, before I begin my budget address, I would like to take a few moments to acknowledge those who helped to put this budget together. I want to thank the staff of the Department of Finance, Treasury Board, Communications Nova Scotia, and the Office of the Premier in particular, because every budget takes enormous work to put together, and I'm truly grateful for the hard work of all involved. Mr. Speaker, it is a privilege to present to this House and to Nova Scotians the budget for 2009-10. While it is the first budget tabled by this government, Mr. Speaker, we do not consider it to be our budget. This budget is substantially the same as the budget introduced last May 4th. With almost half the fiscal year gone, a major portion of our costs fixed in salaries, and an economy needing a measured dose of stimulus spending to spur growth, there was little room to alter the course that had already been set for this fiscal year. To do so would have introduced uncertainty and instability in the midst of a recession. We said we would honour the commitments of the former government, and we will. It's the responsible thing to do. While this budget has been shaped by the past, it also signals a new direction for the future. Mr. Speaker, if this budget seems familiar, it may also be because of echoes from a budget introduced a decade ago. In 1999, another finance minister stood in this House, in this place, and outlined the issues facing another new government. He vowed, quote, to present an honest accounting of the province's finances so that Nova Scotians might easily understand the magnitude of the challenges that we all face, end of quote. He went on to say that, quote, it is no longer possible for the bottom line to be colored by politics, end of quote. And Mr. Speaker, we couldn't agree more. Il y a 10 ans, le ministre des Finances était Neil LeBlanc, et il croyait tout comme nous que les Néo-Écossais méritaient une description fidèle de l'état des finances de la province. C'est la seule façon de continuer à bâtir un rapport de confiance avec tous les Néo-Écossais. 10 years ago, the government of the day understood too well that we were on an unsustainable path. They took some of the steps necessary to change direction. They called it a clear course. Unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, in the last few years, the former government went off course. They put us on a path that is once again unsustainable. Within weeks of taking office, we kept our commitment to commission an independent review of the province's finances. The Deloitte report confirmed what we had suspected. If left unchecked, the province was facing a projected annual deficit of $1.3 billion by 2012-13. In the same time frame, the provincial debt would reach $16.8 billion. This government will not allow that to happen, Mr. Speaker. We will not follow down that unsustainable path. We will begin by living up to our commitment to live within our means. Just a few days ago, in the speech from the throne, our government outlined our vision for this province for the future. We will make the most of the opportunities we have. Nova Scotia will be a leader, and this government will focus on the issues that matter most to Nova Scotians. Though the global financial crisis originated outside Canada, we are feeling the impact here at home. The outlook for the Canadian economy is clouded by declining exports, shrinking corporate profits, and falling business investment. National unemployment is up over 2 percentage points. However, a gradual national recovery is expected during the second half of 2009, followed by moderate real GDP growth in 2010. Nova Scotia has not escaped the recession, Mr. Speaker. However, the impact has not been felt as acutely here as it has in other provinces due to government investments and a more resilient and diverse economy. After strong growth of 2.8% in 2008, the provincial forecast calls for real GDP growth of only 0.3% in 2009. And 1.8% in 2010. Employment is expected to increase by 1.3% in 2009 and by 0.3% in 2010. While corporate profits are projected to decline by 25% in 2009, they are expected to rebound by 11.6% in 2010. Exports are projected to fall by almost 15% in 2009, with a partial recovery of 5% in 2010. While there is reason for optimism, there are many factors that could stall our recovery. Further financial market instability, a rising Canadian dollar, or delays in major investment projects could slow our expected rebound. That is why every decision we make will be influenced by the need to keep the people's trust, to manage our finances and our future wisely. Today's numbers show us just how challenging our task will be. They reflect the economic downturn we and every other jurisdiction have experienced over the last several months. As expected, Mr. Speaker, the numbers relating to our revenues and expenditures have changed since May. This budget presents a more accurate picture of the province's finances than the previous one. The fact is, Mr. Speaker, despite what was presented in this House in May, the province was not then and is not now in a surplus position for 2009-2010. We are forecasting a deficit of $592.1 million for this fiscal year. There are several components to this deficit. The largest single change from the May 4th budget is that we are including a provision in 2009-10 for the previous government's Memorandum of Understanding with the universities. The previous government decided to shift most of this year's university funding to the previous year, a confusing decision that was no fault of the universities. That left almost 2 years' funding in last year's budget and very little in this year's. Within the context of our work to make Nova Scotia a learning province, we want to restore the practice of providing 1 year's funding for universities in each provincial budget. Therefore, we are budgeting an additional $341 million this year to bring the province's obligations under the Memorandum of Understanding to an orderly conclusion. This will satisfy the previous government's financial commitment to the universities until the spring of 2011. After that time, government can return to clear, accountable annual payments. The second largest factor in this year's deficit, Mr. Speaker, is a decrease in revenue of $125 million since May the 4th. Since we are almost halfway through the fiscal year, the updated forecasts now available are more accurate. For 2009-10, we estimate revenues to be $8.412 billion, a slight decrease over last year. Equalization revenues are at last year's levels and are estimated to be $1.465 billion for 2009-10. Due to changes in the federal equalization formula, payments to Nova Scotia are expected to decline in the range of $200 million next year. Since equalization makes up 17% of provincial revenues, this will add to the challenges we face. Mr. Speaker, since the budget was tabled in May, changes in economic variables plus targeted program changes have decreased revenues. Personal income tax has declined by almost $29 million. Harmonized sales tax is down by $19 million. Tobacco tax is down by $5.6 million. Motor fuel tax declined by $1.9 million, while our offshore royalties are almost $45 million less than was forecast in May, well over 50% lower than in the previous year. Corporate income tax increased by $3.5 million. We will recover $43.6 million less than anticipated under the former government's capital spending program in this fiscal year. While the delay in recovering the funds is unfortunate, I am pleased to say that we are keeping our commitment and maximizing the federal dollars available for capital projects. We will capitalize on every available dollar of federal funds. We are keeping people working, Mr. Speaker, and we are keeping the economy moving. We plan to spend $796 million to build and repair roads and bridges, schools and healthcare facilities, housing, and much more. Yeah. The province is scheduled to spend $325 million on highway construction and major maintenance projects this year, surpassing last year's amount by over $140 million, making this year's highway improvement plan one of the largest in the province's history. Mr. Speaker, we promised to maximize federal dollars available for capital projects, and we have done so. I am pleased to report that our estimates for cost-shared revenues have risen from $65 million in 2008-09 to $137 million for this fiscal year. On the expenditure side, our total expenses are estimated to be $9.004 billion. The third largest contributor to this year's deficit is the fact that the previous government's budget did not include funding or did not include enough funding for a number of programs. We cannot explain why the previous government's budget did not include provision for these expenses, which they knew or should have known would be incurred. Monsieur le Président, permettez-moi de présenter certaines de ces dépenses. Nous allons accorder des fonds en préparation pour la grippe H1N1. Il est essentiel de faire de notre mieux pour composer avec cette importante menace à la santé publique et pour protéger la santé des Néo-Écossais. There were costs relating to the conversion of several hundred casual staff persons to permanent status, as well as wage adjustments due to reclassifications. Expenses and the accompanying severance costs relating to the election account for $10.6 million. The EnerGuide program has proven to be enormously popular as Nova Scotians take advantage of the opportunity to make their homes more energy efficient. The additional costs relating to this program are $8.3 million, Mr. Speaker. $13 million more dollars will be made available to the Industrial Expansion Fund compared to the earlier estimate. The fund has, among other things, helped companies like Irving Shipbuilding to secure the contract to build 9 patrol vessels. This $194 million project will employ 150 Nova Scotians and will provide opportunities for 50 local companies to bid on $32 million worth of needed goods and services. We believe the Industrial Expansion Fund can be an important tool that will help to create the secure jobs Nova Scotia's economy needs. We also believe that accountability and transparency must be built into the process. That's why the Minister of Economic and Rural Development will soon bring forward a plan to ensure that an independent analysis of potential projects is included in the IEF decision-making process. This independent analysis will better protect the public purse and will ensure the taxpayers of the province are receiving the best possible return on their investments in our economy and our communities. We are also accelerating our investments in municipal and university infrastructure. Provincial cost-shared funding of $7 million, originally targeted for future years, will now be provided to municipalities in 2009-10 through the Building Canada Fund and the Municipal Rural Infrastructure Fund. In addition, our total matching funds to universities for infrastructure, which meets our obligations under the Knowledge Infrastructure Program, will be $18.5 million this year. Finally, Mr. Speaker, we are setting aside $81.3 million to fund land purchases and land improvements. We believe there are some significant opportunities to purchase land that will enrich our environment, boost our economy, and contribute to achieving our goal of protecting at least 12% of the province's landmass by 2015. These are opportunities not to be missed. We are able to make this historic investment while still holding our total capital budget to less than the May 4th budget. Mr. Speaker, we promised Nova Scotians that we would make life better for today's families. We take that commitment seriously. And Mr. Speaker, in this budget, we are keeping the commitments we said would be kept in this fiscal year, every single one of them. We said we would do it, and we have done it. At a cost of $31.8 million in this fiscal year, our commitments are designed to improve the lives of Nova Scotians. And, as committed, they have been funded through existing budgets. We have long said, Mr. Speaker, that the essentials of life should not be taxed. That's why the provincial portion of the HST has been removed from basic home electricity starting on October 1st. And once it is off, Mr. Speaker, it will stay off. This initiative will put $15 million back into Nova Scotia households throughout this winter heating season. We are also providing a rebate on new home construction to keep our economy moving and our young people here at home. This initiative will put $10.5 million back into the hands of Nova Scotians. Already, more than 800 Nova Scotians have applied for this program. It's doing as it was intended. Buyers are buying, and builders are building. Our fiscal health will be fueled by growth in the economy. To build strong communities and encourage further investment, we're boosting the equity tax credit by $1 million. The rate of the tax credit will be increased from 30 to 35% of the value of eligible investments made starting in January 2010. We expect this credit will return $7.9 million to investors in local businesses in 2010. To increase competitiveness, we are fulfilling another key commitment by providing a 10% credit to businesses in the manufacturing and processing sectors. At an annual cost of $25 million, the program will begin in January 2010 and will help manufacturers boost productivity and create secure jobs for Nova Scotians. And, Mr. Speaker, we are encouraging our best and brightest to stay and thrive right here at home. On January 1st, 2009, a graduate retention rebate became effective, replacing the graduate tax credit. This rebate provides an improved incentive for graduates choosing to work here in Nova Scotia. Those graduating with a degree will be able to deduct up to $2,500 per year over a six-year period, providing potential tax savings up to $15,000. Students with a diploma or certificate will be able to deduct up to $1,250 over a six-year period, potentially saving $7,500. $500 in taxes. Mr. Speaker, we will relieve the anxiety felt by families who must travel for life-saving health care. A $750,000 fund will be created to help families with accommodation costs when they must travel out of province. As the House heard earlier this week, a provincial advisor is now in place to lead emergency care improvement. And, Mr. Speaker, we will also end the practice of taking security deposits from seniors as they enter long-term care facilities. The fact is, Mr. Speaker, we are keeping every single one of our commitments, and we are doing it with funding from existing budgets. About $13 million came from savings put forward by departments, including everything from delays in program startups to administrative savings. We have also realized $5.1 million savings in amortization and operating costs relating to our capital program, as well as $13.5 million in debt servicing costs. Like almost every other jurisdiction in the country, in these challenging economic times, we will be running a deficit this year. As a result, we will follow the advice provided by the Deloitte report and will change the Provincial Finance Act. The pertinent sections of the Act will be repealed to acknowledge the reality that the previous government's budget was in deficit and to permit the use of our offshore offset for the programs and services that are important to Nova Scotians. While this is not a welcome step, it is a necessary one, reflecting the true state of the province's finances. It also echoes the legislative changes that were needed in 1999, when the government of that day had to recognize the sizable deficit that was left for them. Mr. Speaker, our economy is just emerging from a global downturn. While we were fortunate that we fared better than many other jurisdictions, far too many Nova Scotians felt the pain of job loss and the fear of an uncertain tomorrow. We will not add to that anxiety by making drastic cuts to programs and services. As I indicated, we are keeping almost all of the commitments of the former government, including the tax changes previously announced. We will set a course today that ensures a more secure future and a brighter tomorrow. We will use the expertise of our economic advisory panel to help us manage the very serious fiscal challenges we face. We will need a strategic, disciplined approach as we move forward. Nous devons aussi trouver des moyens de stimuler un développement économique renouvelé à court et à moyen terme. La tâche ne sera pas facile, Monsieur le Président. Nous devons être prêts à examiner toutes les options stratégiques à notre disposition, afin de relever les défis financiers qui ont été si clairement mis en évidence pour nous dans le rapport de Deloitte. We will take a common sense approach to expenditure management, beginning with ourselves. In this fiscal year, we will realize $800,000 in savings with a smaller cabinet and fewer political staff. We are freezing the wages of MLAs, political staff, and senior public servants for at least 2 years. Retiring MLAs will no longer keep the furniture and equipment paid for by the taxpayers. Rather, it will remain the property of the province. As well, they will no longer be provided with a tax-free $45,000 severance allowance upon leaving office. We have taken this action because, as the Premier has said, it is the right thing to do. We have also begun a program that will examine every aspect of government spending. Led by senior officials within government, this group will find ways to be more efficient, more effective. It's about using technology to transform government, a government of the 21st century that recognizes how important it is to work with our federal and municipal partners to identify new and better ways to deliver service. Through innovation and smart planning, we will find ways to reduce costs and to make government more accessible. The road to fiscal recovery is not a journey we can make alone. It will require patience. It will require the cooperation of our funded partners. We will need the full and active participation of our school boards, district health authorities, and other government-funded agencies, boards, and commissions as we pursue every opportunity to spend smarter and be accountable to those we serve. We also want to assure public sector unions that we will bargain in good faith. We will be fair to both our employees and to the taxpayers of the province. We will reflect the economic and fiscal circumstances which we face in negotiations and increases to non-bargaining unit staff. While we know there will be challenges, our government firmly believes the best place to meet these challenges is at the bargaining table. We also want the input of Nova Scotians. Our government believes that we must work with the people of Nova Scotia. We will open a dialogue with Nova Scotians, and Mr. Speaker, we will listen. We will be counting on all Nova Scotians to work with us as we return this province to a sustainable financial path, and from there to the social and economic prosperity that we're all working towards. À bien des égards, Monsieur le Président, le présent budget marque à la fois un début et une fin. Il marque la fin de la gestion financière imprudente dont nous avons été témoins au cours des dernières années. Il marque aussi le début donner de véritable leadership. In many ways, Mr. Speaker, this budget marks both a beginning and an end. It ends the imprudent fiscal management we have seen in recent years. It begins an era of genuine leadership. It brings a time where a thoughtful, steady approach builds strong communities that fuel a more robust economy, where young people can stay at home and enjoy the quality of life that only Nova Scotia can offer, where seniors can enjoy the comfort and independence of their own homes longer, and where we reestablish this great province as a leader in Canada. Mr. Speaker, we now begin a time that will provide a better deal for families and a better deal for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister.
The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purposes of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these televised proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker. This podcast was previously aired on legislative television.